Hello and welcome to MRI's ECB Speak podcast. I am Santi Piñol and it is my pleasure to welcome to Annalisa Ferrando and Petra Kuhler-Ulbrich to the program. Both Annalisa and Petra are senior lead economists at the DG Monetary Policy at the European Central Bank. Petra is involved with the ECB well-known Banking Lending Survey, while Annalisa is with the less-known Survey on the Access to Finance of Enterprises, SAFE, that provides information on the latest developments in the financial situation, but from the company's point of view. And the reason we have them here is because last week it was the 20th anniversary of the ECB Bank Lending Survey that has become an important tool for analyzing bank lending conditions, and more recently one of the key elements to see how monetary policy transmission is working across the euro area. Petra and Annalisa, thank you for being here. And before entering to the questions, I would like to ask Petra, what can you tell us about these 20 years of the Bank Lending Survey?
Yeah, thank you, Santi. Very nice to be here, and thank you very much for the nice introduction. So yes, in fact, like you said, I mean, we have the 20th anniversary of the Bank Lending Survey this year. The survey is one of the longest existing surveys of the euro system. It was established in 2003. With the aim to increase the knowledge on bank lending conditions for firms and households in the euro and better understand the monetary policy transmission via the bank lending channel. Markets, I would say, tend to pay a lot of attention to the key indicator of the BLS, which is credit standards. And so this indicator is basically an indicator on credit supply. It's on changes in banks' loan approval criteria. And then markets also pay quite a bit attention to the assessment of loan demand developments as reported by the banks. So it's really, I mean, the BLS is a survey on the banks, or not on the banks, but from the banks' perspective and providing evidence how they see the developments.
On this one question, how do you think has been changing during this time, during these 20 years, how the survey has evolved in terms of like the information that was providing to the market, or what remained, what did you add?
Yeah, so I think in terms of content, we can draw maybe three important lessons over the history of the Bank Lending Survey. One important element, I think, is that given the long existence of the Bank Lending Survey, we can really compare, for instance, the tightening periods across the history of the Bank Lending Survey. So, for instance, if we look at the tightening period prior to the global financial crisis, we had a period where credit standards were kept relatively loose for quite some time, although the ECB had already started to tighten its interest rates. And banks assess the credit risk as relatively small. And then with the outbreak of the global financial crisis, of course, credit risk was reassessed, and also banks' balance sheet situation, the problems which banks had at that time played a large role. Whereas now in the current tightening period, banks have tightened their credit standards from the beginning quite substantially, and by contrast, I mean, banks' balance sheet situation does not play a large role in the current tightening. So yes, this is one of the lessons I think we can draw comparison across historical periods, and then there are others. I mean, I do not want to take too much time now, but there are other lessons like impact of the ECB's unconventional monetary policy measures, where the ECB Bank Lending Survey contributed a lot of evidence, or in times of high uncertainty during the pandemic, the BLS also provided a lot of evidence.
Okay, perfect. Before moving to SAFE, I wanted to ask you also something on the recent tightening cycle that we are seeing. Is there any particular indicator that the market, do you think, is watching with a special attention to monitor this tightening? And how do you think this can evolve in the medium term of the tightening?
So I think the markets, like I said, I mean, really pay a lot of attention to the development of credit standards. And I think this remains the key indicator also in the future. I mean, the purpose of the bank lending survey is to pay attention to credit supply versus demand development, so to disentangle the two. And of course, it's of interest to look then at the credit supply development in the euro area.
Okay, perfect. And now moving to Annalisa to talk about SAFE. That SAFE is a much younger survey, focused not much on lenders, but on companies, financing situation and needs. So it's basically the other face of the same coin. What can you tell us about this survey, and what can this survey tell us that it's not in the BLS, Annalisa?
Yes, thank you very much, Santi, for this question. First of all, thank you because you say that the survey is quite young. Well, the survey started in 2009, and there is a follow-up of the global financial crisis. And at the time, it was seen as the means to get quick information on the financing conditions of firms. We use some weights, so whatever we publish, we analyze, is really representative of the population of firms. The other important thing maybe for your listeners is that starting from next year, we are planning to increase the frequencies of the survey to become quarterly, so we'll be better aligned with the bank lending survey. And this is a nice piece of information. Now, to answer directly to your question, there are many pieces of information that are collected in the survey that are not present in a survey that is conducted alone among banks. I will present you three, four examples so you can understand. First, firms are reporting their needs and availability of different financial instruments, so going beyond the bank loans. No? We ask about rate credit, debt security, equity. So we look all the different aspects of the capital structure of a firm. Then with this piece of information, we are able to construct the indicators of financing gap. That means we check which is the difference between what is needed and what is available in the market, in the banking sector. Why is this important? Because when this financing gap indicator is a positive, it means that the firms would need more finance than what they find. And it is an important piece of information for us. We use this also to understand better the substitution effects across sources of finance. So at the beginning of the years, we saw a deterioration in the bond market financing conditions. So we were wondering whether bond issuers were substituting bonds with bank loans. And we wanted to see which was the impact of those firms that are only using bank loans, so small and medium enterprises. And we saw with this just in qualitative information from the survey that indeed there's been a kind of crowding out of loans for small and medium enterprises. And this is the type of analysis that we carry on. The second point is that SAFE provides information financing constraints. Again, something that goes beyond the rejection rates that you can collect from the bank lending survey. Now, what it is important? There are lot of small firms that need external finance, but for some reason to run their business, but for some reason they do not apply for bank loans for fear of rejection. Now, why is this important? Because these firms do not go to banks, so banks do not know about these firms. Just to give a number, we think that there are 6% of firms that are financially constrained. 1 percentage point is related to the rejection rates, but 4 percentage points are related to this kind of discouraged borrowers. So we follow also them through the SAFE. Third point, we have a lot of questions on the expectations of future availability of finance. And again, we use this, and maybe I will explain later, we use this to understand how changes in expectation can change the real decision of firms. I just want to conclude with another example and many others, and it was a bit related to what Petra was saying of during the pandemic. At the time, we were quite lucky, if I can say so, because the field work, so the start of the interviews, were just at the beginning of the pandemic. So we could follow the answers of the firms on their expectations of bank loans and trade credit daily, each day. So at the time, for instance, of the announcement of the pandemic of the 11th of March, we knew that 20% of firms were very pessimistic about future availability of sources of finance. No?
By the time of the announcement of the PEP, the 18th of March, this number went to 40%. And then we checked what's happened after the announcement. And we saw that this, say, negative percentage went down or leveled off, let's say, after the announcement for bank loans, but that was not the case for trade credit. And so from that, we understood with this kind of information that firms were listening to announcement and were a bit revising their expectation. Why it is important? Because expectations are the basis of the decisions of firms for investment and for employment.
Thank you very much for these examples that were very useful. And now I wanted to ask you a question for both. So, like, knowing these two surveys, do you think either of these measures, either of these are an early indication of the other? So, like, can BLS be an early indication of safe or the opposite? And can this change depending on the economic environment? So in terms of recession or expansion, have different conclusions? Like, bottom line, how they both complement each other?
I think the important message which we also try to highlight is that the two surveys really complement each other. And maybe also let me take up what Annalisa said in at the end, and then I turn on to leading indicator properties of the bank lending survey. Annalisa was referring very nicely to the evidence on the pandemic from the SAFE, and I think on this instance you can see very well the complementary nature of the two surveys. So we had this evidence from the SAFE, and at the same time, in the April 2020 BLS survey, we also have seen the initial reaction of the firms via the indications by the banks in the survey. So we have seen in the April 2020 BLS that there was a surge in the loan demand by the firms, especially for short-term financing needs for working capital in an environment where we had containment measures and the firms really needed to secure the daily business. So we have seen this in the BLS, as we have seen the evidence from the side of the firms and the SAFE. So here I think you can see the complementary nature of the two surveys. They do not really predict each other or something like this. So it's really, I mean, they complement each other. But we have early indications from the BLS, and the BLS has a very good leading indicator property, has very good leading indicator properties for actual loan growth developments in the future. So we have evidence from the survey, and by the way, we also had an economic bulletin box in the ECB economic bulletin earlier this year, where we have investigated those leading indicator properties of the BLS, and we point to the fact that, I mean, when we see today a tightening of credit standards on loans to firms, this leads over time to weaker actual loan growth of firms. Normally within a period of 5 to 6 quarters, you see the weakening impact really on actual lending developments. And equally also, if you see today that banks indicate lower loan demand by the firms, normally you see around 3 quarters later then also an actual weakening of loan growth developments. And also, if you look here at the current developments, so we had the tightening of credit standards on loans to firms a couple of quarters earlier, and then we have seen the substantial weakening in actual loan growth developments. So here, I mean, this is one of the largest or an important value of the BLS, that it indicates developments of actual loan growth. And this, as you were asking whether this can change over time, of course, I mean, economic shocks or certain economic developments or the very special period of very low interest rates and easing monetary policy accommodation, it changes a bit those relationships. But overall, the leading indicator properties of the bank lending survey have been broadly stable over time and are a very valuable feature of the bank lending survey.
Yes, then I can complement what Petra is saying. I mean, of course, I agree with her. The two services are complement in the sense that we regularly use the information from the two surveys, no, to see the, to check not only the consistency between the perceptions of banks and firms, but also the co-movement. I have an example that is a bit different from what the one of Petra, but it goes in the same direction. From the safe replies, we can derive indicators of overall financing conditions. Okay, these are indicators that relate to changes to bank interest rates and their cost of financing, but they are synthetic indicators. So we consider them given conditional on the financial solidity of the firms, balance sheets, and their perception of the supply of external financing. So it's something more than just the replies. What it is important is that we see that this firm's perception of financing conditions closely follow the trend for terms and conditions that are reported by banks in the bank lending survey. But, I would say, so overall, let's say, they follow the developments of the margins of average loans and riskier loans. It's a specific question, very important in the bank lending survey. So we have that overall, a widening of bank margins are reflected in a worsening of financing conditions as reported by the firms. But there is something more. Because we can split between SMEs, so small and medium enterprises, and large firms, what we see from the replies of the firms is that mostly the perception of changes in the financing conditions of small and medium enterprises are related to the margins or riskier loans. While for large firms, financing conditions reflect changes in margins on average loans. So what do you get from here? You get a very simple message. And the message is that there are that higher costs of bank financing for small and medium enterprises with respect than for large firms. So we get this by just connecting the two surveys. And then when you say whether these conditions change over time, also in this specific case, we can follow this. Lately, the tightening in the last bank lending survey was more related to margins on riskier loans, and there are many reasons because of that. And you see, but less for average loans. So you see again this divergence depending on the size of the firm. Of course, there are many other factors contributing to this that we don't stay to discuss now, but it's a very nice way to link the two surveys.
Okay, thank you for your answers. And like moving on, I wanted to ask, from a monetary policy perspective, theoretically, and I'm not trying to push for any future policy clues, if the BLS or a few surveys give a fairly clear and transparent look at transmission, what does SAFE tell us? Is it a measure of transmission or confidence levels, or both? Maybe, Annalisa, you start, and then Petra complement.
Okay. So, very simple. I think in the SAFE, we get indication of the transmission monetary policy through the bank lending channel. We have information changes in interest rates, other cost of financing. We have information changes in the availability of bank loans. But there is something more that I want to say to you that is a bit to answer your question. So as I said before, in the survey, we ask about expectations of future availability of bank loans. So we ask them now, for the firms, how do you expect that there are changes in the availability on bank loans in the next 6 months? We used this piece of information to check the transmission monetary policy. We found that firms respond to the unanticipated changes in monetary policy, the one that we call the monetary policy surprises, by updating immediately their expectations on bank loan availability. And the magnitude, the direction depends on the type of the shock. Just to make you to understand what I mean with this is that we find the firms pay little attention to monetary policy announcement if these are very small or if they are perceived as positive for bank loan availability. But as soon as the surprises become bigger and negative, so deliver what is perceived as a negative news for credit availability, firms start paying attention immediately and update their bank loan expectations accordingly. Why it is important? Because lower expectations about future credit conditions are reflected in firms' investment and employment decisions. And this is even before there are actual changes in credit conditions. That is important. Even before the actual change in credit conditions, because As Petra said, there is like a time lag between announcement and changes, both in the bank balance sheets or in the changes in the provision of loans. And this is something that we do with the SAFE. So for that reason, just to conclude, I think that SAFE is giving an indication of the transmission monetary policy.
Okay, and Petra, do you want to add something?
Okay, yes, I can add something from the BLS perspective. Regarding information on the transmission, like I said before, the BLS has these leading indicator properties, so we get information on loan growth developments. And then also, if you look further through the transmission of monetary policy via these indications on loan growth developments, so if we see a weakening of loan growth, this is then also transmitted further into a weakening of GDP growth and also dampening then inflation, inflationary pressure. So it's really the channeling through through the bank lending channel and contributes to the analysis of the monetary policy transmission. And maybe also something interesting, which I did not mention so far so much, we have in the bank lending survey important questions also on the impact of the ECB's monetary policy measures. So the impact of the ECB's asset purchases or the targeted longer-term refinancing operations. And also here we see how those measures are channeled through the economy. So during the period of the low interest rate environment and monetary policy accommodation, we have seen that those measures have helped to ease credit standards of the firms and have also supported loan growth and lending volumes to the economy. So for instance, we have what we can show in more analytical work is that those banks which have participated in the targeted longer-term refinancing operations, those banks were actually also those who have provided more loans to the economy. And now, if we go to the current period, and this is then the change also over time, we see that the impact of the measures in the context of monetary policy tightening is, of course, changing signs. So you have the easing impact on credit standards has now turned into a tightening impact. And again, channeling through the economy, dampening loan growth developments and GDP, and then also dampening further inflationary pressures.
Okay. If both surveys point to tightening of financial condition, is that likely to be an indicator of future GDP, directionally at least? Is there any recordable correlation with GDP? And how about with inflation or perhaps inflation expectations? I don't know who wants to answer that.
Maybe I can take the example of the current tightening, where you can also then see that actually how the BLS is working. So for instance, I mean, we have seen a peak of the tightening of credit standards now towards, it was at the end of 2022, beginning of 23, and we had a peak of the decrease in loan demand in the first half of 23. So taking then the leading indicator properties of the bank lending survey, you would expect that we see a dampening impact on actual loan growth between the end of this year and mid of next year. And then this would also translate then into a dampening impact on GDP growth and in turn also on inflation. So again, as I said, I mean, the impact via the dampening impact on loan growth developments and then further on going through and being channeled through the euro area economy is the key element of the BLS. And maybe only one short point to mention, it is also an important element of the BLS that we are able to disentangle credit supply and credit demand. So for instance, we have one indicator in the BLS where we take out a bit all the demand elements from the credit standards and have, so to say, a loan supply indicator. And we see also here that there has been a substantial tightening of credit standards since the start of the tightening period. But Annalisa can complement.
Yes, so it's indeed important to understand how this kind of qualitative information on credit conditions are related to macroeconomic outcomes. But whatever we do, they are with the caveats, no? In the sense that whatever estimate that we calculate, they cannot be considered as causal effect. I want to say this, but just provide an indication of the future, average future developments. Having said this, we did the work. So what we did is that we estimate the average evolution of euro area real GDP growth following changes in the financing gap. And that indicator that I was telling you at the beginning of the interview. So we found that after 1 percentage point increase in the financing gap indicator, that is quite a lot, real GDP growth in the euro area was declining on average by 0.2%. And this after having control or conditional on current lagged GDP growth, so just focusing on the information content of the survey. This number is huge, so as I said, is the caveat works here, is applied. So it's not the number, but we see that using this kind of information, we get feeling on the GDP growth. Now, maybe I go to the part that you ask about inflation expectations, and maybe it's the most important. So at this stage, of course, the survey, the SAFE, does not contain information firms' inflation expectations. This you know. But this kind of information is quite scarce. So what we did, we started 6 months ago, was to introduce questions regarding selling prices and wages expectations in the survey. These are quantitative questions, so it's something new in the survey. Okay? So according to the interviews that we conducted 6 months ago, so beginning of March, mid-April 2023, we saw the euro area firms were expecting their selling prices to increase a lot, on average by 6.1%. Now that we are looking at the new numbers that are, the interviews were in September, I have to say these numbers between September and, say, October, these expectations are quite substantially lower. You will see the results at the end of the November. I cannot say more on that, but there is a comforting situation. I mean, we see some comforting information. Now, one thing that I want to say is that when somebody is reading this kind of piece of information, you have to take in mind caveats always, because firms' expectations about their future selling prices cannot be compared with what are the normal measures of consumer price inflation expectations. And that should be clear, because firms' responses reflect mainly producer prices, including export prices. It's something different. But just to conclude, because we are aware of this, we have recently started to test a new set of questions in the SAFE, where we ask firms about their expectation regarding consumer price inflations. So we will have also this kind of information that is more related to what we are thinking we can get from firms. We hope to publish this information next year. We are still in the pilot project, but soon we will have this as well.
Okay, thank you very much for your questions. That was your answers. That was Annalisa Ferrando and Petra Kuhle-Ubrich, senior lead economist at the DG Monetary Policy at the ECB. Thank you for coming on M&I's ECB Speak, and I hope you have fun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. It was a pleasure.